Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Resellers Mindset Podcast. Mike next to Johnny. I believe this is the first time Johnny recently relocated. So this is the first time you ever see a different background if you're watching over on the YouTube. Yeah. If you're listening on podcast platforms, we appreciate you just as much. And you don't need to see his background. It's nothing fancy. All right. It's basically the same thing. Just cut and paste, change, drag and drop a few Photoshop
things. Same locker boards. I mean, that printer was over there. Wall panel instead of pegboard.
The great reseller resignation is going to be 2024, right? More resellers than ever have quit. But steering clear from the doom and gloom and you're all going to fail topic, we're going to kind of structure this in a way where reasons why you shouldn't quit reselling, because everybody can tell you that it sucks and this platform sucks and that platform sucks. And it's hard to find beacons of hope, right? Like, you throw out the bat signal and there's no Batman in your city. You're kind of SOL. But for us, we have made leaps and bounds and strides within our businesses this year. So if everybody's leaving the party, why are me and Johnny still waiting in line to kind of get into the next level of the club here? And I think it's important to see that there still is opportunity and ways you can make money. And yes, we sell on Amazon, but I'm a true believer that if you have good business sense, good business practices, it translates no matter what platform you sell on, if you're doing things the right way, right? So yeah, I don't have an active eBay store, but I can tell you right now what works on eBay and what doesn't work because I see it, right? I'm around people in that situation. And I do think the bigger fallout is happening over on platforms like eBay and some of the smaller reselling platforms. So the first thing I want to hit on before I throw it over to Johnny is going back in and getting rid of dead inventory and pricing your inventory that's been sitting for X amount of time, lowering the prices, running sales, just selling stuff, I guess, right? That's the biggest thing. I mean, I want to do a whole 10-hour podcast episode on you don't get paid until the item sells. As resellers, we don't get paid until it sells, and we actually lose money by it not selling because we paid money, and if you got it for free, you paid time to go get that stuff. So that's the biggest one I want to start on is you actually have to sell your stuff. So do whatever it takes to sell it.
Absolutely. I mean, odds are if you're in the book game, even if you're in the disc media game, space is an issue for you. So for those that have been at it a minute, you're probably renting a space, whether it's a storage unit, a warehouse, or you had a shed build out back to turn into your office, right? Even if you're still using your garage or your room, those precious, precious square footage that you have, they have to turn constantly so you can put newer items in to make even more money. If they just sit there, you make more money. You put in the time, you've bought the stuff, you may have bought bookcases or built your own or something. You're in the negative for a little while and you're getting a few dollars in, but you want a lot of dollars to come in. And it's all about turnover rate. Is there an argument to be had? This is a $3,000 book, and it will sell in 5 years. Sure, as long as you do a bajillion of them and you can speed up the 5 year to collect those $1,000 purchases a time, great. So if you don't do that, you're reliant on your lower end items, your bread and butter, as the phrase tends to go. I'm going to get back to that phrase in a minute because that annoys me.
Okay, wait, I got a question for you. The $3,000 book, it'll sell for the full $3,000 in 2 years, but you can sell it at the one-year mark for $1,000, or you could sell it at the six-month mark for $500, and you paid, we'll say you paid $10 for this book, all right?
Sure.
Where are you at? Where are you selling?
I'm selling at the first damn offer that comes in. I had a point in case. I had a $3,500 book listed. Guy sent me an offer for $1,700. Yes, sir. Took my money and left. I mean, he sent me an offer for pretty much half. what I was asking for. But you know what I paid for the stupid thing? 20 cents. 20 cents for $1,700.
So why did the person
$3,500? Yeah, I was.
What's the mindset behind the person that's going to hang on for the 2 years to sell it at $3,000? Is it just the mindset that they're never going to find another item to resell at that amount?
Who refuses to take that offer? That mindset is they know what it's worth, so they're waiting for the right buyer, the right time. And I'm not saying that right buyer, right time is wrong, but the right buyer with money in hand is who I want, who wants to give me the money right now, today. I don't want to wait. I'm not after the dollars for tomorrow. I'm after the dollars for today. I think Mr. Tech did an episode, and he didn't go into the third one, which is what we're talking about here. But basically, it's high turnover rate business or low margin, high volume. There is luxury in store, but they still have turnover because they're willing to take offers below what it's worth. Then there's a person who just waits and waits and waits and waits. That is the slowest model. It takes, I'm going to say, half a decade to get going, honestly. I mean, you'll make some sales, but to really start making any kind of decent money, you're looking at about a half decade. It's a very long, long, long game. However, this model, I do think if done properly, you're waiting to do that long con game, you would make the most money at the end of the day, but you're not making hardly any money for that first 5 years, in my opinion. Barely. You're not even touching the man hours you put in, honestly. You're maybe paying yourself $2.50 an hour for the work you're putting into that.
I think as resellers, you need to focus on sell through. I've thought about this long and hard, and I used to kind of swing the other way, right? Like ROI meant something to me, but
we still have that though. That's the crazy part. We still have a crazy ROI even on a high turnover rate.
Yeah.
So even on a low margin game, you're paying 5 cents to do $5. But if you do that 1 million times in a year, my God, that's a lot of money back to you and a huge rate of return. But we get greedy. We want 1,000, 3,000, 500,000% rate of return. It's crazy to me.
It's tough because people see their item and they see that, you know, the phone has sold for $100, right? Mm-hmm. So they this is going to be $100. I know what I got, right? Price is firm. I know what I got. We cannot live in this realm as resellers, and cash flow is why these people go belly up. But I do want to defend, because I've seen this a lot, is the COVID era. Resellers are the ones that are like getting washed away. And I think it's, you see more people quit than are successful in any business, right? Like, and you always hear the failures are always louder than the success stories. And I do think a lot of people that started in the COVID era kind of built their business in a correct way are seeing huge results and better results now. And the people that kind of could just wing it back then go by the wayside. But I don't think it's too late for the person that's struggling today and reselling to turn their business around. You just got to take a look in the mirror. What do you have listed? Okay, I'm going to clear one thing up too. Just taking money for the sake of your time is not always the answer. We're not spending hours listing items where we're going to make $2 and they're not going to sell within 10 seconds of them being listed. And even 10 seconds, why are we wasting time with a $2 item if we're taking photos, doing all this? That's the big difference between the eBay realm and the Amazon realm is I can list a box of CDs here, 174 CDs in the box I did yesterday, within 30 minutes, 45 minutes. So sure, some of that stuff's $5 profit stuff, but a lot of it's higher than that. But there's no work after that. In any other business model, you cannot be that person because you got to take the photos. You got to do the correct listing. And I think that's why the eBay sellers struggle the most. It's because there's a lot of work you have to do. And if you're chasing a low dollar garbage that is not selling instantly, which is 99% of the stuff, because if it's low dollar, you know, it's probably something that's not moving quick. I don't know, man. It's tough for me. I do think there is a path, but it's a hard look in the mirror. And we've all kind of been there at different times in our business where you're like, what am I doing? Like, why am I not making as much money as I should? Like, I'm out here hustling. Like, and then you say, okay, well, let me take a step back. Let me look at it. One thing I've done, we talked about it before the call, I went in, spent 2 hours manually repricing my items.
Yep.
I had my best day of the month that day. I went in and manually repriced thousands of items that were sitting there for more than 6 months, because that money is money sitting there. Not only is it not making me money, I'm paying storage fees, whatever my buy cost was, and it was over 1,000 units that I manually repriced, take an average of a dollar buy cost, it's $1,000 plus storage fees, yada, yada, yada. I literally have $1,200 just tied up there. So even if I can get back my buy cost, that's $1,000 that I'm going to be able to spend in a much smarter way today if someone gave me $1,000.
And for me, I mean, I'm playing longer sell-through cycle. For me, it's liquidating or returning or lowering my bottom, as I mentioned. I'm going pretty low, and I've almost sold 1,000 units for the month so far. And but I'm not making a whole lot of money. I'm saving a whole lot of money because of those storage bills, because I sent in a huge amount this year. Huge. And it's just a matter of I want to keep as many of my dollars and avoid a bigger occurring bill that I have. So now's the time of the year where I'm lowering it because we have faster sell-through because everybody's stuck at home. These last three-ish months we have left in the year here. And again, it's a sell-through. Got to sell it through. You have to.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at gotolister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
You have the fees, you have a storage issue if you're doing the eBay, the merchant side, you have cash flow. I mean, for those of you doing it full-time, you're probably trying to buy stuff constantly. That's another thing. If you're continuing to buy with a slower output, I hope you have a grandmaster plan to speed up that output, because you're going to screw yourself royally.
Oh, and you're
gonna be called Sally afterwards. Sorry, people called Sally in the world, but that's your name.
Yeah, you're right. Because I talk about this all the time with people that start Amazon, and I want to give them a realistic expectation that we're looking at a 6 month burn here for you to actually start bringing in some extra money here. In addition to your buy costs. So I can't have you go spend your $500 you have for this business within the week. I need you to burn this money in a way where you're growing. Think outside the box. There's a million different ways you can get quality inventory for cheap, but we can only rely on the thrift stores. And yeah, man, you're right, because the money, unless you got a money tree, if you're spending more than you're selling, sooner or later, the balance hits zero.
Yeah, I mean, if you're taking out debt and you're doing the friends and family kind of personal loan, or if even you're doing the PayPal or the eBay loan, or I hope to God you're not doing the Amazon loans because they're pretty terrible these days. If you're injecting cash flow and you're trying to force it to be cash flow positive, you're doing it wrong. It needs to be cash flow positive from the get-go. But, oh, there's this huge buy. It'll transform my business. Maybe, but odds are you're not experienced enough to even make that kind of call yet, honestly. And if you've already done it, you've probably realized you're digging yourself out of a hole, because the catch-up time from when you think you're going to forecast to get out of the debt incurred to now I'm starting to get positive dollars to the man hours you put in between these two segments, how much dollars are you really making? It's shrunk because you took out a loan, or you've had cash injected somehow, some way.
I think if I had to give advice to the person that's struggling right now with Amazon or is thinking about quitting Amazon, my best piece of advice is go in, fire sale your items. You can see how much the fees are for each item super easily now. Get your buy costs back out, because items that have been sitting there, you should be a smarter reseller now than you were then. And make the change of focusing on higher sell-through items. Johnny, I've been saying this in YouTube videos for 4 or 5 years since I started. Just because I'm willing to send in a DVD or CD that sells once every 6 months, I literally tell people, do not be Mike. When I put out my information with my trigger sets, I don't put out my personal one, because it doesn't work for everybody. I'm in a place where I'm getting it for next to nothing. I understand the data better than probably 95% of the people that sell media on Amazon. and I am cash flow positive. I can afford to take the risk. Most of you can't, especially if you're trying to grow how much money you got. You cannot wait 6 months and hope that item sells. You cannot do that in any way. Honestly, you could argue that I shouldn't
okay,
even
I'm
do
gonna
it.
Ask you a serious question. We're gonna flashback. You or Mike, when you had debt, because you've talked about debt publicly before, would you play the longer dollar game or the may or may not sell item? Would you be sending those in if you were still in debt?
No, because even back then when I had my eBay store, like, sure, there was a few things that I had that sat around for a while, but I was only buying quality brands and quality electronics that I knew would sell, because that $10 I had to spend at the thrift store was literally dinner for me and Dev for 2 nights, right? So, but that's mindset, dude. That's a completely different mindset, and it's hard to, like, just assume.
But flash forwarding now, being debt-free, you can afford to take on those not really chancier, just may sit for a longer kind of items. Yeah. That's the fundamental difference. And I think people think they can do it from, well, I'm not going to say a disadvantage, but a circumstance situation where you can't afford to do that. Your business literally cannot afford to do that. You need to make money today to get yourself out of financial crumbling ruin, essentially. You're trying to build, you're digging your way out as fast as you can. And again, the key word there is fast. You got to do this as fast as possible. So you need things that will sell within 3 months if you're really in debt, or 6 months if you only got some light baggage there, or you just lost your job. You need money today. You don't need money tomorrow. You need money right now.
I got a good saying in the group that, like, I should almost get t-shirts made, right? Like, we don't talk books, we talk business. There's never been a signal, like, sure, I'm the used book guy. Johnny's the book shepherd. Who cares? I could care less about the books.
I got a table full of CDs over there now.
And I think media is one of, especially books, dude. You book lovers out there that want to have businesses around books, most of the time it's not going to work out, because you're too attached to the items you are selling, and you cannot be in this business. You got to sell items to make money. I don't know. There's no other way to put it. So what can you do as an eBay seller? When I sold on eBay, every item I listed, Johnny, I would see that they're sold comps. I don't care what, honestly, I'm straight up, I don't care what it's sold for, right? I just wanted to see how many sold comps were there versus listed comps. This is 100% how I did eBay. Mobile phone, how many sold, how many listed, and then, okay, I see. All right, it meets the sell-through rate that I'm looking for. And then when I list it, every item I ever listed on eBay, when I listed it, I made sure I was the lowest price.
Yeah. I mean, if you're at or below market, you're going to sell faster than the guy
with best offer. So not only was I was the lowest buy it now price, I had best offer on, and any offer that came through, you better believe I took it.
Absolutely. Now me, I mean, I price my items high because I know the offers that come in are going to be lower than that, but these are already low value items to begin with. Like, most of them are sub $20 in value, but I make them close to $20 or above $20 in value because I know how the eBay game works. But if I wanted money, if I just wanted to dollar, 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 I would have a 60,000 item plus store if I wanted to play that game. And that's how you would play that game. Is you're the lowest guy, you're well below market or right at market, and you take any offer comes in because you don't care what the item is. It's about how fast can I turn it over? Dollar, dollar, dollar can stack up, or quarter, quarter, quarter. I mean, it's a harder game to play the quarter game, but the disc only guys, they can do that. I mean, they're hustling as fast as they can. It's how fast can I get the items up, because that increases my sell-through rate. Versus listing quality item, which is just going to sell naturally in a saturated market, honestly.
I think it's a balancing act, because I don't want to sit here and tell people that trading your time for money is terrible. But I do think you have to have a threshold when it comes to, okay, I'm low on cash, I'm willing to trade my time for money. But I don't think you can chase that garbage, that $1-$2 garbage. I don't think that model exists in 90. Sure, the person you're talking about, the mega sellers that have refined processes that have been doing this for years, you get the pass. But the 99% of us that are not that, You cannot trade your time for the dollar, $2 items, and you just got to get rid of this stuff. And if I
you
had
can
an
do that later. You can change your business model later. I think that is a later play if you choose to go down that road. But earlier on, or middle of the road, where I'm able to pay my bills, but I'm not really able to save money or store money away because I'm just chasing the eBay or Amazon check to check kind of deal. You're not really making any. You're just maintaining. And in order to get out of the maintain, you gotta shift your model a little bit better to maybe faster sell-through rate. And the items that do sell, you're making more than a dollar. I agree with Mike here. You need to be making 5, 10, 20, as many dollars as the item can really sell for. Probably 10 plus is what you really need to be angling for. Anything higher than that's great. Please do that. If you have access to nothing but $20 profit back to you in the bank kind of items, list them all.
You can't, there ain't going to be no later. Right. That's kind of what he's saying. There ain't going to be no later unless you focus on what you got going on now.
Unless you're 20 years old and it takes you 20 years to figure out this information, you're basically starting your reselling business at 40 years of age. Come on now.
If we just think outside the box as resellers, right? Like maybe we should have titled this podcast the outside the box ways to, I don't know, get some cash and not quit reselling, because the lowest hanging fruit has always been the thrift stores. And I'm here to tell you, me and Johnny, it's not a huge reliability anymore in this business, you know? Like, it's tough. But there's so many different ways. The stuff is everywhere. And I hate to say this, depending on what category you sell in, different platforms do better. You either got to get with it or you got to get out. It's the same argument we make about anything. If you don't like the way the platform you sell on operates, then go do another platform, sure. Right? You have to be involved in the ongoings of what your platform wants, what they expect. Is this platform best for the type of items you sell? If not, what other platform's best? Go there. You got to make changes. And I think what happens, a lot of people that quit, they just, I don't know, they see like, all right, the Titanic hit the iceberg, Johnny, and I'm just going to stay in my cab until this thing sinks.
They want to will their business model into profitability, like with willpower. Not with math, not with testing, not with analysis, not with networking and talking with others that may have done what you're trying to do right now. They're trying to wish upon a star. Hey, Disney, if you're listening, we'll take sponsorship.
I think you're right. It's tough. And criticism, as somebody, you know, store manager criticism, you got district managers every single week in the store telling you that you suck, your store sucks when you know it doesn't. I think you have to take criticism and self-criticism. And as resellers, there's usually not nobody else, right? Like not everybody has a dev sitting behind you that's like, hey, why would you ever do that? Like, don't even do that. Like, she saved my ass plenty of times. Like, I owe her royalties for life for the amount of stupid decisions I would have made. But not everybody has that, so you have to kind of be around a group or another person that's in the business so you can, I don't know, get a second opinion. And if you're not getting the results, it's a-okay to be like, hey, here's where I want to be, here's what I got going on, what do you think are some steps I can take to get there? And it all usually starts with getting better products at lower prices, listing more items, being more efficient in processes, and everything's fixed.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. We all of us, every single one, 100% rate, all like buy. That's our favorite part. We want to do it again and again and again. We want to go out and buy. But you know what? I've talked to several people recently that have more to list than they can list. And why are they continuing to buy? Because it's the fear of missing out on the deal of a lifetime. It's the fear of, if I don't buy, I don't feel like I'm working. But you know what? You've already bought more than you can list. Get your butt in the chair, and you're either listed on eBay or you're boxing for Amazon or both. Honestly, it's probably both, because you're trying to get as much money as you can. Because if you just keep buying and your business model is kind of broken and you're not fine-tuning the process by either doing boxes or listing over and over and over again on eBay, you don't have that, aha, I'm stupid for doing this moment. And trust me, I've had plenty of those. This is I'm dumb. I should not be doing this. I need to change something up. And if you're just buying all the time, you never have give yourself those moments because you're trying to feed a machine that it's bouncing all over the place. It's falling off the wheels. The conveyor ain't going so fast. You're doing it wrong.
I've seen something recently. You know how like people used to be like ashamed if they had death piles, right? It's turned the corner. It's no longer shameful to have death piles, Johnny. I've seen multiple posts.
It's not. Because everybody has one. Yeah.
It's like glorified now. Like, look at all this stuff I got, right? Like, why aren't we just listening? Dude, I can't get behind it. I really can't get behind it. Why are we not just listing and selling it? Cool. You got 10 storage units full of stuff you bought. You're still buying. You think it's cool that you have all this back stock, but you... That's literally costing you money sitting there. So why not are we just sitting down, listing it all, and getting the money? And then you don't have to worry about a storage unit. You don't got to worry about your house looking like an episode of Hoarders. And you get paid. What a miracle.
Crazy concept. So for those listening at home or on the radio or however you're listening to us or watching us.
On the radio, not yet, dude. We're not that famous.
I'm sure we're at some channel in Cuba we're on. They just linked it in somehow. Look around. Look at that pile you got over there. Just list one and then list another and then list another. Or box one, box an item, box another item, another item, another item, another item. I mean, you can, on the software, assuming you're using software, you can continue to load that box. And once it's all full, mail it, maybe? Yeah, let's do that.
Dude, I talk about it all the time. That stupid pair of Danskos was the last item in my eBay store when I was an everything seller on eBay. They sat in that tub for months and months. And now when I see a pair of Danskos in a thrift store, I'm like, no, get away. Get away. The devil. The devil's work. Why aren't we just going back, revisiting these items we have listed, getting our – we pay $5. Let's price it so we get our $5 back out of it. Because you today are going to spend that $5 smarter than – you 6 months ago or however long it was. We have to continually reprice. With Amazon, we have software, but even that misses things. On eBay, I'll straight up tell you, Johnny, I never went back and did manually like repricing of like seeing what the new comps are for everything. So I'm 100% like, if I was the eBay seller, that I could be the kind of people I'm talking about where I don't go back and revisit prices and lower prices. But I think my saving grace was when I initially priced it, I was the lowest and I had best offer on. So like a lot of that stuff sold that probably otherwise wouldn't. But you got to be involved with everything besides sourcing. You said it earlier. Everybody loves sourcing. It's the funnest part of the day.
Best part of the game.
Yeah. Not for me. When I look at my money coming into the bank account, that's fun for me, right? Like sourcing, sure. You see cool items every once in a while.
And most people like it the other way around. They like to see money leaving the bank account, even though they're oblivious to this fact. How much money can I spend? I made $200 on eBay. Let me go spend that right now. Or I got $1,000 on Amazon. Let me just spend it as fast as I can. No, stop. Take a minute. What do you need? If you don't need it, don't buy it. If these are wants, stop. They need to be needs. If you need a printer, go get a printer. Go do that. But you don't need more inventory, more than likely. If you need inventory, then you need inventory. Then it's time to buy the inventory. Not until you need it. Don't buy it until you need it.
Maybe you can sink on this ship with me, but I will say the statement first, and then you can say whether you agree or not. It is a controversial statement, and I really don't care because I do believe it's true. People who cannot operate their personal finances 100% of the time can't operate their business side of finances. And that's a huge problem out there because if we can't control how we spend personally, you're definitely not going to be able to control how you spend it within the business.
No, absolutely. I mean, and outside of reselling in business, they say the first 1 to 10 million is hard to do. In reselling, we're going to drop a zero. The first 100,000 to 1 million is hard to do. That's hard for resellers to do. But the ones that figure it out, they're A-OK. They're probably the most calmest people, politest people you ever meet in your life. They're out there. They're in a lot of these groups, including this one here, Resellers Mindset, or the Used Book Guide, depending on how you want to phrase it.
You're all over the place today. You got a new studio. You're talking of a Resellers Mindset group. I guess it's close enough. But I do think you're right now. I have an example because I got a good example of this, right? So I'm at the Goodwill. Just the other day. This Goodwill sucks usually, but it's on my route that day. I'm like, yeah, I gotta hit this Goodwill. I don't want to go in here. It's like when your mom or dad's dragging you by the arm to go in. I'm just like, oh, I gotta go in, right? I'm like, I guess I'll bring a bag because Goodwill's too cheap to give you bags anymore. All right, I get in there, Johnny, and there's a bunch of old school rap CDs, right? So like, oh man, like, okay. So I'm scanning, right? I'm in no rush, dude. I'm just chilling, right? Like these CDs probably been sitting there for weeks, months. I'm on like the third shelf up. Some other bozo comes in, right? He just starts grabbing all the old school rap CDs and throw them in his cart to go look them up, right? So I don't know, dude. I felt bad and maybe I shouldn't have felt bad, but like he's selling on eBay. So all the stuff he's putting back out of his cart, I'm scanning and it's all profitable on Amazon. So you got to get with the platform that's best for the products you're selling, right? Like
Absolutely.
Deb sells handmade cat and dog toys. Like that's impossible, almost impossible. Sure, you can list it on other platforms, but we all know Etsy and her own website is the best approach with this. You got to be strategic, and people that act like that are fools. So like, I don't know, man. Give me some examples of somebody that's like, or give me ways somebody that's thinking about quitting within the next month that like, if I had to send you in like Gordon Ramsay on like Kitchen Nightmares, where he's got to fix the business in like a week, right? Like, what are you going to go in, look at first, have them do differently possibly?
I'm going to have them, if they're an eBay seller, I'm going to have them pull up their eBay store and we're going to sort high to low and everything. I'm going to ask the person, how much dollars per item do you want to make? And they're going to give me some number and I'll say, great, we're going to double that and we're going to cut out everything that's below that number right now from your eBay store. We're literally going to put it in a pile and you got two choices. You can Facebook market this place for a dollar or you can Facebook market this place for free. The remaining items that we gutted your store from. And whatever's left, these are the kind of items we're going to sell going forward, this dollar amount metric. And then I'm going to look around at their processes. I'm going to ask them, okay, walk me through your processes. And if I see hot garbage, well, guess what? We're going to redesign some processes. And then I'm going to take a look at their schedule. Like, what is your schedule? Because I'm going to guarantee you it's not consistent. And then we're gonna look, and the last thing, and there's some little things in between, but the very last thing we look at is where are you going to source? Where are you going to buy from? And we're gonna look around, and we're gonna compare dollar amounts to the items we're able to pull from these items, and we're gonna shorten that list, and then we're gonna expand upon that list to new and exciting adventures.
I like that idea because I love Gordon Ramsay and I think that show's good. I don't know. I'm just into like businesses kind of like pivoting and making changes. I think it is important that when you sit down and you do look at your business before you decide to quit in a week after listening to this podcast, think to yourself, what are you passionate about, right? Let's start from a clean slate. I want you to have the mindset of you're basically starting a brand new business because old habits have to die. You cannot
Yes.
continue to drag these same things into this new business, this new category, or even the same category, a new business, right? Even if you got, can you change the name of your eBay store after you have it?
You can. It made it a lot harder these days, but you definitely still can, yes.
So there we go, right? If I'm the person that's going to quit within the month or I'm thinking about quitting, I'm a whole new reseller. I'm starting back from zero. I'm changing my eBay store name. I'm getting rid of everything. I'll run the sale for the month, right? I'll give myself a leeway, right? I want to get as
Sure,
much
have a
money.
fire sale.
Yes, fire sale. So then I'm going to start my new eBay business. It's the same thing. You're just changing the name, but you're a new person. You're going to study people that have seen success. What are they doing? We're going to start thinking we're not going to the same sources because clearly those sources aren't working for us. They're not giving us the quality of items we need to get. And then
Or
you
they
just.
are, you're just taking a whole lot of junk with it. Leave the junk there. Let
That's
it stay.
true. That's true. Set hard guidelines within your business. We have them in Amazon in the software. If it scans red, then we know we're not buying it most of the time, right? You got to be the same way in the eBay land, and it's just a little bit more time consuming. But I do think you got to just boom, brand new. We're a whole new
And
person.
here's the thing, why people don't do that. They put in a lot of time and they want to get paid back for their time, but they're not going to doing it the same way or being unwilling to change. You're not. You gotta either pull the plug or cut some cords here and there to have a more refined system. You got to refine it until there's nothing left to refine. And then if you're still not making it, well, you probably should switch categories at that point, honestly.
Yeah, and you have to.
Or platforms.
You can't do the same things and expect different results. It just doesn't, nothing works like that in life. You got to make a change. And if you're thinking about going like, oh, I'm just going to, the big thing right now, I didn't even want to get into this topic on this call, but I'm going to, is we waste time just getting dollar, $2 items, right? So the big push, it's like, hey, go, you know, whatnot's like the new hot thing. And people do it properly and people get results. But for the average person that can't properly run an eBay store, you ain't going to be able to properly run a whatnot stream. I'm here to tell you, that's the hard facts. And it's the same way if me, the Amazon guy, wanted to go start an eBay book business. I can't just switch and just think, oh, everything's going to translate over, right? Is there times to make the switch? But just run into the next shiny object being the same crappy business person that you are, you're going to be right back where you started from. You're just going to wake up one day and you're back on the Titanic again and the iceberg's right there and there's nothing you can do.
Abstract a little bit. Americans, we're very passionate about the underdog story. If you grind it out, you put in a lot of hours, you will be triumphant. Okay, slapping the Hollywood out of you right now. That's not true. If you go over to professional boxing, for use a Rocky analogy, they have proper techniques and they don't really start off knowing them. They go to professional to learn from them. And then after a while, they do pretty well. But a lot of them fail too. Even people trying to go that route, there's a lot of failure. You have to be A, consistent, B, have good technique. And by technique, just refining your process, making it smarter. How can I shave 10 seconds off a listing? How can I shave 10 minutes off a box that I'm packing for Amazon? And the stuff that I'm sending in, is it good quality stuff? If it's a pile of garbage, probably a bad idea. Even on a send everything model, that's a hard game to play. I mean, I'm currently playing it, but I'm telling you, I'm going to be making some changes up here because of the data I've seen over the course of the year. Still waiting the last 2 months to mine out whatever I can. And then I'm going to just make some quick changes. But anyway, back to you guys. Constantly change, constantly look at the numbers. Knowing the numbers, that's a huge part of the game. You really got to know. If you're not a math person, okay. Two columns. How much am I spending? How much am I making?
They matters.
Make notebooks with a little red line in between it. They go, if you got just white paper or printer paper, draw a line down the middle. And you can see, is column A bigger than column B? And we're going to call column B what's going in our bank. Either a yes, no. And then you can look at the other column. Where am I spending my dollars? Should I be spending my dollars in these locations?
I think another thing,
it don't get no simpler than that,
people fall into is the idea of relying on these home run items, especially us that hit thrift stores, right? Like, I'm here to tell you, the home run model, it's glorious for YouTube views, but that's about it. You're not walking in. I'm not walking in stores finding, you know, Black Law dictionaries in every single store I'm in. I found one, and I've been in thousands and thousands of thrift stores, right? Like, these grails and this idea that every time you go in a store, it literally is. Like, it's
gambling.
The majority of the time, you got your chips on one number, the roulette wheel spins, and ain't hitting your number. And if you think that's going to be a reliable business model to walk in and find the big brands that are worth the big money every single time, you're not going to make it, dude. And that's unfortunate, but it's the bread and butter, fast moving, great priced items. Even if you're under market, you're still making money on what you paid and it actually sells. So you're actually making money versus the person who's trying to get this exuberant amount and it never sells.
Okay, I'm going to give a good example because I did mention bread and butter earlier on. I want to come back to it. That is the most abused term I hear out in probably YouTube land and Instagram and where social media. We'll just call it social media. Bread and butter items, right? Okay. We're going to use Nora Roberts here. Yeah, she sells every single day on whatever platform you put her on, but she ain't worth jack. Okay, I'm just going to make a whole bunch of her. Put them in lots. And then she's worth some money. Where you could have just, I don't know, listed a Stephen King or a Clive Barker and Rice book who will sell for that same amount of dollars in less time than you spent making that stupid John Grisham, Nora Roberts, Patterson garbage that should be flushed down the damn toilet.
Dude, you're offending book collectors all around the world.
I hope to... Yeah, I am, with a smile.
I know, dude. It's tough. It's tough because we've been doing this for so long. And we've kind of experienced different things, and all we kind of can do is convey the experiences we had, right? We talk about it all the time. There's people out there that can crush it with lots, but their whole business is lots. That's the big difference. They know what to get for, what to look for, the process of listening, packing them.
They got that the space for it. They got the storage for it. They got all the processes for it.
That ain't us.
No.
We're leaving it every single time. I can walk in and I can see a full box. Nora Roberts, Tom Clancy, for free. It's already in the perfect size box, Johnny. Perfect size box.
You're packed, ready to go for
it. It's already packed. I ain't taking it. I know what I'm good at. I know I can focus on higher dollar per hour things. And I'll straight up tell you, when you ain't got the cash flow, you got to trade time. You got to chase the free stuff, the low dollar stuff, but you got to be calculated with it. It's got to be items that actually sell. If you're chasing low dollars, it's got to turn and burn so your $1 keeps multiplying fast. It can't be $1 every month. It's got to be $1 every day, every 2 days.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's hard early on to know what to avoid because you're learning. I get it. You picked up the Nora Roberts box. It said free. It looked like a good score. Like, even if I make a dollar off that, I'm in the positive, right? Because it was free. Wrong. The time eaten away by you messing around with that stuff is not free. It costs you time that you could be making more money into your business. Now, if you don't know, fine. You gotta take some hits. You gotta learn. But don't do it again. Why are you punishing yourself? Even if you sold it in 8 months or you sold it and you got your $2 out of it, don't repeat the same mistakes. Learn from them. Learn what to avoid. Learn what to leave behind. Learn what to make another reseller's problem that's not you. And also, that's the other thing. Don't inherit other people's problems. If another reseller is offering you a deal, it's normally too good to be true. It is. It is. Because they know things that you haven't learned yet.
I'm going to wrap it up here. Final thoughts on this one for me and for Johnny, because I know this is what he has in his mind as well. Because we just think alike. We're basically two peas in a pod. He used to be the eBay guy. Now he's the Amazon guy like me, and that's A-okay. I don't think any less of him. Now he works a lot less, so I actually think more of him because he's getting more for his time. He's getting more bang for his buck. I think if you're on the fence about quitting reselling, or you're the person that's around all the negativity in reselling, you got to make a change. You got to have a clean slate. You got to get away from all the negativity, whether that's groups, whether that's influencers, whether that's whatever it is you're watching every day that's saying eBay sucks, Amazon sucks. You have to get as far away of that as you possibly can. There are plenty of people out there that are readily available to have you in a group, to tell you that there's light at the end of the tunnel, that post positive results, that post that platforms actually make you money. Don't care about the little things, can help you grow yourself as well as your business, because they go hand in hand, right? Like, you're always learning, you're always growing business-wise, personal-wise. And I do believe, as much as you see it out there, that people are quitting this, people are quitting that. My mind hasn't changed from episodes ago when I said now is the best time than ever to start a reselling business, because if you do it the right way and you build it the right way, you're going to crush it and knock it out of the park, because at the end of the day, there's a lot more people that half-ass this business than that are actually going to understand the business, understand what it takes to be successful, and actually grow a good reselling business. So if you're that person and you know deep down, like, hey, I'm hustling, but I'm not getting results, it's there for you. You just got to make a few changes. Don't feel like this is the end of the line. By no means necessary. It's probably one or two things you got to change up, your sources, what you're listing. But I mean, it's all there for the take. I'm going to let you throw the last one out there, because even though that was a mouthful, I'm sure you got something else to add on.
No, and I'm just going to steal one bit of that here. If you do not know the right way in the wrong way and you think you're spinning your wheels, you probably are spinning your wheels. There's plenty of people. There are groups. There are comments on the YouTube channels that you can make too. You can DM on Instagram or do a public one, whatever. You'd be surprised the amount of information people are willing to tell you if you simply ask, or that person needs some more information. If you just say, I'm making no money, that does me no good. Be specific with why you're making no money. Outline it. Talk to people. Network. Get involved. Be proactive in the things you are unsure on, because the stupidest question is the one not asked, I'm afraid. If you're not asking it, and if you're not asking yourself more importantly, and you're struggling, maybe it's time to, well, pull out notepad. I don't care if it's physical or on your computer. Pull out a notepad and start to figure it out. And then if you're stuck somewhere on why you're still not successful, ask. Please ask. There, Mike's here. You got tech. You got a bajillion other groups. You've got Instagrams, YouTube, Twitter. I guess some people still use that. Whatever. I don't care what it is. Ask.
You give me $2.99 a month, shameless plug, 6 months of your time, and you take selling media seriously. You come hang out in the Discord. You come get on the weekly calls, ask questions. I guarantee you'll see results. I mean, you might not be a $1 million seller, but I guarantee you will actually be making money. And I stand behind that. I do believe you could start selling media on Amazon today and be making decent money within 6 months if you treat it like a real business. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll talk to you all next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.